Blog Talk Radio.
Project Paranormal. Take a journey with us into the world of the paranormal for the next hour. With that being said, I welcome my co-host, Chris Malone. So how are we doing today, Chris?
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween or Happy Goblin Day or however you want to say it. It's been a pretty hectic day so far, huh?
You know what? It has.
It's been a great day, though. You know, it's a great positive day. A lot of things happened for us today. You know, but it's Halloween. And you know what? I'm going to have to make a confession right now, Jeremy. A lot of people might get upset with this. I'm not a big fan of Halloween.
What? Dude, that crushes my heart. Halloween's like Christmas, man.
I know, right? I'm not a big fan of Halloween. I don't know why. I've just never been, you know, the big type of guy to dress up to get in outfits and just do all that crazy stuff. You know, I don't see, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't hate it or anything. I'm just not for me. I'm more of a Thanksgiving guy or a Christmas guy. Halloween, I'm just like,
yeah, anything that does has to do with food, right?
Exactly.
He says, get the candies going straight for the turkey and dressing.
I need the turkey and the dressing and the gravy and the mashed potatoes. Oh, I'm getting hungry. I need to stop. I'm about to walk away and go cook me some dinner.
Well, since it's Halloween and we're going to have our guest on here in about 25 minutes, we're going to tell some Halloween stories, being that it is Halloween. So if we have any listeners out there that would like to call in the show, you can call us at 323-580 5730. If you have any ghost stories or any Halloween stories you'd like to tell us, we'll be glad to have you on air and let you tell us your story. Chris, do you have any?
You know, I have no ghost stories, you know.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, everybody's pretty much heard a lot of my ghost stories. You know, my background in paranormal investigating didn't start till, you know, and I started investigating. You know, I'd never had any paranormal experiences. I never seen any ghosts, you know, or heard any voices or anything like that. You know, so I never really have. Well, I got some crazy stories that happened on Halloween, but, you know, that's a different radio show altogether. But, you know, I mean, we can talk about one of our cases. You know, I think for some reason, I don't know why, but you can tell me. My favorite case, you know, that was, I don't know why, that's just my favorite case.
Yeah, I hear you. I have a Halloween story that brings it back to my childhood. We were kids. When we grew up, which, of course, I'm from the country. Anybody that listens and hears my voice knows that. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. We was going trick-or-treating, and we were all in the car. It was me and my cousin. She was a teenager at the time. She was about 16, I guess. I must have been about 11 or 12. And we were going down this old gravel road in the middle of the woods. I mean, it's complete dark, and we passed, there's this old plantation cemetery that was off on the left-hand side. And we seen this man standing there in white, like a white sheet on. I mean, you know, now that I'm older, I think it was just somebody dressed in a costume standing there trying to scare us. But as a kid, you was completely dramatized. So we continue going down this road, and all of a sudden this car turns on their lights behind us. And I mean, it's right on our bumper, and it's kind of swerving left to right. You know, it gets right on our bumper, and then it'll back off. And then it'll get right back on our bumper again and swerve side to side. And all of a sudden, the lights just went off. Man, we was panicking. We were driving 90-nut down this gravel road. And, you know, they were saying it was the ghost car. I think it was just my cousin that was playing tricks on us. But I can remember that story. That right there just terrified me when I was a kid. And I don't think I slept for about 2 weeks after that.
That's insane. You know,
yeah, maybe that's what's wrong with me today.
Yeah, possibly. I think that is what's wrong with you today. I think it might be a couple other things. You didn't eat paint chips when you were a kid, did you?
Not that I can remember.
I had to. See, you didn't remember it, but you probably did. So did I.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably
that's
did.
What's wrong with us. That's why we're out chasing invisible people, huh? I
know
you died in 1846, but can you come talk to me right now, please? Come talk to this recorder.
Can you tell me your name?
Mm-hmm. What is your name? That's what I kept saying in the last case of Springfield. It's like, everybody, just shut up. Just shut up. What is your name? I was watching some of the video stuff last night because I was pulling EVPs off of it for the radio show that we did today, a local show here in New Orleans. And I was watching the video, and I was like, oh, my God. Hey, you know, I wanted to say something. For our viewers out there that go to our YouTube channel that watch, you know, we went back to the basement in Uptown New Orleans for the second time. It was Return to Uptown New Orleans Part 2. I know, titles are crazy, but whatever. And when Kevin Betzler from Down South Paranormal said he heard something kicking across the floor, you hear a little girl's voice. And I'm like, how did I miss that editing the footage? How did I miss that? It was clear as day. I mean, it wasn't like the bombing, you know. You know, I think what it is like, you know, if we investigate on a Friday, good chances are you're getting our video on a Sunday, because that's one of the things that I try to do is, you know, you do the same thing, Jeremy. You're really great at it.
Yeah,
you know?
Try to get it out
we
there.
We try to get the video out there ASAP because, you know, our fans or our supporters or whatever you want to say, you know, our friends, you know, are following us as we're tweeting and foot posts. You know, hey, this is what's going on in the investigation. You know, something happened. Jeremy got punched in the face. We know that they want to see that right then and there. You know, we know that. And I've kind of vowed to do the best I can putting that video out there. And sometimes you miss some stuff. So I don't know.
Well,
I mean, maybe we should wait 2 weeks and really go through it. But, you know, with our busy lives, it's really hard. We like to just put, you know, gather up the evidence and then make the video and put it out there. And I don't know if y'all know how to edit out there, people. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
No, it's definitely not. And two, you have to also understand, whenever you're editing, you're going through about 6, maybe 7 hours of footage, okay? And you're staring at the screen. And, I mean, you could miss things like that because you're just sitting there for hours on end. And simple things like your mind gets all discombobulated and everything, so you can easily miss something like that. But, and two, we like to try to get it out as soon as possible because we don't ever know when the next case is going to come. And all of a sudden, you don't want to get called out on another case and have this backlog of video evidence and, you know, digital recorders and EVPs and all that stuff piling up on you, because then you're never going to get called up.
And it becomes too much, trust me. I know the feeling. You know the feeling. It becomes way too much of going through hours and hours of audio and hours of videos. You remember when the first time I took you to that basement, or the only time when I took you to that basement, that insane 45-minute spirit box session where, you know, things were thrown at me or something hit me, and, you know, just the crazy intensity that was going on with that? I came home, and actually I think I went to sleep for like 2 hours. It was so intense, and my heart couldn't stop beating so fast that I felt like I wanted to get this video out there ASAP. And actually, that night I stayed up. Well, actually, I think I started at like 9 o'clock the next night, and I finished the video at 4 a.m., and it was uploaded at 6 a.m., and then I went to sleep. So it was like a straight 8 hours, and I think that's when I actually started putting all the, after going over the video, putting it all together, took a total of 8 hours of editing. So I was exhausted. I remember I slept hard that night. Man, I wanted the people to see what we had just went through. And yes, it's raw. It's, you know, insane, loud, annoying spirit box. But if you sit there and you deal with it and you watch that footage, you're going to see some crazy paranormal activity.
Yeah, you ever notice how whenever you do a paranormal investigation, and by the time you pack up and leave and you finally get into bed, you're so exhausted you can barely keep your eyes open. But whenever you actually lay in bed and you're trying to sleep, your mind is still going 90 to nothing. So it's almost impossible to get actual rest.
Sleep. Can't sleep. Sit here and lay down. And if I get a few hours of sleep, I'm lucky. Because what goes on is just what you, well, I'm going to speak for myself.
For what I go through sometimes, it's traumatizing. I mean, let's talk about the dark case in Springfield. You know, I know we talked about that last week. You know, and I know the video's out there. I know it's our most watched video as of right now. You know, and we appreciate all the new subscribes and all the likes on our YouTube channel, which you can go to www.youtube.com/ParanormalNola. That's my team, and Jeremy, yours is Ghost Quest Para Ponticula, right? And
Ghost Quest Paranormal.
Ghost Quest Paranormal right there. And I remember I came home, and I know I've told this story before, but I woke up, felt like I got hit by a truck. I felt like I got the crap kicked out of me, and I just laid in bed for 2 days. Didn't sleep much, but just laid there. And, man, I'm just telling you, you think you want to be a paranormal investigator. You think you want to go find Casper with a flashlight. Well, there's a reason why there's so many teams out there that don't investigate anymore, but they still have their Facebook page up and they still have their website up. You know, and all they do is post little hauntings here or there, but you don't really actually see them investigate. I mean, that's what I think. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about how come all these teams aren't investigating? How come there's so many active Facebook pages or active websites, but you don't really see many of them actually out there investigating? And if you do, they only last a certain amount of time. I know Jeremy calls them fly-by-night groups, but I think it's because it just takes so much of a toll, and if you don't have that certain dedication, that certain love for it, you're not going to last.
Well, yeah, I believe that too. And, you know, and also, I mean, let's face it, some of these groups out here are really embarrassing for the rest of us. But, okay, let's turn the page here real quick. All right, since it is Halloween, Chris, I have a serious question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you think Halloween is actually like the one night a year that all the evil in the world just runs free? Is a lot of religious people believe that, you know, if you celebrate Halloween, you're celebrating the devil's night or whatever. You know, a lot of religions believe that, and I respect that. I understand that. But in your opinion, do you think that is blown out of proportion, or do you think Halloween is roots of what Halloween stands for has actually been, you know, deemed something that it's really not?
I think it's something that it's really not, you know. I think this is just my opinion, people. I just think it's just – I was talking to a friend earlier, and he doesn't know anything about paranormal or anything like that. You know, he's a construction worker, and he's a really good friend of mine. And he's like, commercialism, you know. He's like, you know how much money those people who make those candies and the horror films and, you know, the makeup and the costumes. It's our marketing day. It's money day. And especially here in New Orleans, you know, great. It's a great holiday to market and make money off of, but I think that's mainly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Halloween is supposed to represent the harvest, okay? And I believe that. And I think that, you know, people have totally taken Halloween for what it originally is not supposed to be. And I think a lot of that has to do with Hollywood and you know, horror movies and Michael Myers and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think that it should be a fun time for kids to celebrate. We have a guest. We have Tammy on the line with us, which is my co-founder of Ghost Quest Para. How you doing, Tammy?
Good. How are you?
You know, I'm making it.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing wonderful. Good. I'm just looking at some history on All Halloween.
What is that?
The voice I just did like that? I said, All Halloween. That sounded kind of cool, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah. Y'all don't have to lie. It's okay.
And now it's raining, and we didn't get to go trick-or-treating to get any candy. We could have dressed up like a little kid.
They need to have some cool sound effects on this board, man. We got to work on that.
Yeah, sure. I'll get
so
right
Tammy,
on that, buddy.
Tammy, do you have any stories to tell us? Any, you know, ghost stories or something that you heard when you was a kid or anything in that nature?
Let's see. The biggest thing is, the worst thing I could think of is dealing with Jeremy every day.
That's paranormal stuff right there.
That's what I'm thinking. Every day.
Well, I get it coming and going. You see, folks, this is what I have to deal with all the time. I not only catch it from her, I catch it from him. You know, how am I supposed to operate in this kind of situation?
You're not. You're just supposed to take it.
That's right. It's called teamwork.
Okay, so again, if we have any listeners out there that would like to be part of our show and tell some of your ghost stories, we will be more than glad to hear from you. Contact us at 323-580-5703, and we'll get you right on the air. All right, Chris. We're going to have to do a show about alien autopsies, okay? I was watching this show the other night. It's called Alien Autopsy. It has to do with the Roswell crash. Okay, now you know I get big into the whole alien UFO thing. Now, I never really paid a whole lot of mind to the whole alien autopsy thing, but then I was really watching this documentary, and they actually show the doctors doing the autopsy. And I mean, they even showed the blood flow and organs inside, and you could tell that it was wet. Now, and even Steven Spielberg, they even showed the tape to him, and he said that, you know, not Steven Spielberg, Stan Winston, which is a effects artist, one of the biggest in Hollywood, and he even said today with the technology that they have that they would not be able to duplicate that. So I would really love for us to get our hands on an expert and be able to do a show about that.
Well,
I
remember,
mean,
there are no experts. There's only enthusiasts because it's not proven.
Well, I mean, people say that about us. I mean, there's no experts neither. We're just enthusiasts. I mean, nothing's proven, but we know, you know, we know what's real and what's not. You know, I mean, it's up to suggestion. I mean, nobody, look, there's some people out there you can put a body in front of their face and they're still not going to believe it, okay? Same way with spirits. You could have one manifest right there in front of their face and they're going to say, oh, well, that's just such and such.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's just closed-mindedness right there. There's a line to where skepticism and just being a closed-minded douchebag, you know, begins and ends. You know, so I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Like, if you're a skeptic, okay, and you go on a paranormal investigation and you see something that you can't explain, then that's paranormal. If you see a spirit or something in a human form manifest right in front of you, and you try and say, well, that's logical, that's just really douchey. I'm sorry. You know, it's really jackass thing to do. But, I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, I mean, I've had skeptics, you know, come with me on investigations, and, you know, I've had a spirit box talk to them, and them just be like, nah, you know. And that's something. You can go, okay, maybe that's not really, you know, paranormal. It could be a radio. But if you have something like a true experience to where you actually see an apparition with your own eyes and somebody else next to you sees it, your skepticism really has to go out the window. I mean, come on. I mean, and that's the problem with paranormal and spirits today. There's enough proof out there, okay, to prove the existence of ghosts. There's a guy out there saying, I'll give you $1 million if you prove ghosts. Okay, it's been proven. It's just nobody on the scientific side will acknowledge it or hold the efforts to conduct their own investigation or experiments to say, okay, now it's a scientific fact. And the problem is because they can't explain it. They can't explain it. You could take a scientist and you could take him on 10 investigations and see all this activity. He's not going to be able to bring any logical explanation to the evidence you bring to the table, but it's still not going to be proven as ghost or real. Why is that? That is just completely blows my mind. You know, maybe it's my perception or outlook on the world. Maybe it's because I've been on, you know, so many investigations.
Well,
I don't
Chris,
know.
Now, Jeremy knows for a fact that whenever he had asked me to go on that first investigation, I did not believe in any of this at all. None at all. I thought it was the craziest thing that I have ever did. But I have to say, I am a true believer now because I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it. But how many times have we went somewhere and we brought people and you're hoping that they see something and something happens and it don't? You know, you have that issue. But then, too, how many people do we have out there, other groups that make up stuff and it just blows it for everybody else?
And that's the problem. And that's the
you
problem
know,
with-
you've got groups that go out there. And that was the whole thing whenever Jeremy and I started this group. We did not want anything made up, nothing at all. You did what, you know, if you saw something, you saw it. If you didn't, you know, that was just, you know, that just happened to be that night, you know. And that was the thing. I didn't want anything made up at all. But there's so many groups out there that want to make it up because they want something at every place that they go to.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
If you're a group, I'm sorry, Jeremy, I just got to say this. If you're a group and you're getting evidence on every single investigation, I'm really going to be like, really? I mean, like, we had Andrew Jackson Hotel, which we got some evidence, which we weren't allowed to release to the public. Trust me, I would love to make a video of that. But we went to St. Pierre, which has haunted claims, and we didn't get a single solitary thing. Not an EVP, not a personal experience, not nothing. And what did we do? We came out and said, look, guys, we know we hyped up this investigation to the fullest. We know you all, you know, wanted us to come out and be like, bam, here's the video, here's all this evidence, but it just wasn't there. And that's the thing. And so what, we actually, a news crew actually wrote an article about, you know, Honest Group. You know, they went into a historical site and didn't catch anything. And it just, if you're a group out there and you're catching evidence on every single investigation, I'm going to find that suspicious. Well,
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You're going to find it suspicious. And, you know, for people out there that's looking to maybe have a paranormal group come in, there are signs, you know, of whether you're going to have the right team come into your house or not. I mean, if you have a group that, like Chris says, everything they put out is just bam, bam, action-packed, all this stuff is going on, 9 times out of 10 it's a fraud. It's not going to be real. And two, if you have a team that you contact that wants to charge you to do an investigation, hang up immediately. You do not need to have any more contact with these people because these people are not in it for the right reasons. They're only in it to make money. I think that's one of the most craziest things that I have ever heard of a paranormal group trying to charge people to investigate their houses. But it seems like it's getting to be more and more and more out there. And, you know, it really makes me mad because it gives the rest of us such a bad name. And to a lot of these groups, you know, like I call fly-by-night paranormal groups, they go on these investigations to these historical sites, and they just go in there and they have themselves a good old party and a good old time. And I'll contact them wanting to do an investigation. He says, well, you know, I've let a few groups come in there before, and they just made themselves at home, you know, and this is my house, this is where I live, and I'm just not going to allow teens to come in no more. So you basically just ruin it for everybody else that really wants to prove that there is something there. I mean, it's just really gotten out of hand. You know, apparently they see this stuff on TV, and it's so glorified. Everybody wants to do it. You know, of hopes of being on TV or whatever the case may be, and it's just really gotten to be embarrassing. I'm sorry to say. I mean, it's the truth. It's really gotten to be embarrassing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's been a number of places that I've gone to and speak with, and a couple of places is, thank God, they were like, oh, look, we've heard of you. You know, you have a great reputation. Come on in. Yes, you can investigate. And there's been other places that are like, no, you know, I've had a group come in here a couple of years ago, and, you know, they were just didn't share any evidence with us. It sounded like they just having a good old-fashioned fun. I didn't see any professionalism. And that's the thing. And sometimes I'm known to be a little uptight on investigations. But, you know, like Jeremy, like, you know, I do that for a reason. You know, I like to have fun a lot.
He's basically like Egon.
Chris uptight? No, not Chris.
Imagine that. He's actually like Egon off the Ghostbusters. That's what we call him, Egon.
We're going to leave that one alone for now. I told Andrew, you're an investigator, that I'm not going to own that, okay? But when it's time to investigate, it's time to put all the childish things aside, and it's time to get to work, okay? We're here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to document paranormal activity to help out the client, okay, or the business owner. We're not here to have a good old time. We're here to do a job. Let's get it done. Okay, we can go play after. You know what I mean? So, and, you know, so that's how I look at it. And I think that attitude that I've had for my team, Paranormal Society New Orleans, has led us to have such a great reputation around New Orleans to where people are like, yes, come back whenever you want. You know, I mean, I could call up the marketing director right now for Andrew Jackson Hotel and be like, look, can I investigate, you know, in a couple weeks? Sure, you know. I mean, I'm pretty confident that that would happen. And, you know, other people are like, I've heard of you. You know, you bring good evidence to the table, you know, and I like your videos or I like how you hold things. And it's because we're structured and we try and do things. Like, look, paranormal investigators out there, groups, if you're out listening, you know if you run a DVR system, you need to get that DVR system up as quickly as possible because it can take you 20 minutes to get that DVR system up or it can take you 2 hours. It all depends on what your investigators are doing. And if you don't keep them in line and say, look, this is what we need to do, we need to get it up, start investigating, you know, you're going to spend 2 hours looking very childish and immature, you know. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's very true. And what about you, Terry?
I think
that
qualifies as Chris's rant for the night.
Yeah, we thought about doing a segment called Chris and Jeremy's Rant because there's just so much stuff out there that just seems to get under our skin that we could basically make every week about it, but we don't want to torture people too much, so we just figured we'd break it down into a segment called Chris and Jeremy's Rant, but hey, I guess that qualifies for Chris's rant for tonight.
I don't know.
Well, we're waiting.
Jeremy.
We're waiting on our guest from APPF Paranormal in Pennsylvania to call in. As a matter of fact, there they are right now, and we're just going to go ahead and put them on live. Hello, welcome to Project Paranormal.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no doubt.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good, enjoying our Halloween. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. It's raining down here, unfortunately. I think the kids kind of got disappointed because there's no trick-or-treat tonight.
Yeah, it rained up here, too.
So what you guys got going on good down there?
Well, I don't know. We did have one place where we were going to go to Breezewood, but they canceled on us because the kids were sick. We are actually supposed to be going out to Tyrone. That will get me, fuck me up. Excuse my language. supposed to go out to Tyrone to, what's that cemetery called?
Bachman
Cemetery. And there's some stuff that happens there every year, or every...
It's the anniversary tomorrow.
Yeah, the anniversary tomorrow.
Well, what exactly happened there?
Well, hold on. I want everybody to get in.
What's your group called again?
I didn't hear that. Can you repeat it?
I said,
what are some of the claims there?
What are the claims?
There's a general from the Civil War era who rides a white horse through the cemetery. There's people in there who tries to scare them out, and there's also people hanging from the trees.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's really cool. Y'all have
12 and 3.
Yeah.
Well, it has supposed to happen between 12 and 3. Damn.
Y'all got a lot of history out there, huh?
Yes, we do, unfortunately.
Well, tell us a little bit about y'all's group. I mean, how did y'all all get involved in paranormal?
Well, I started by myself before I did my team. I started going to graveyards and stuff by myself, and which I know I shouldn't have done that, but I did. Then in 2010, I looked on the internet to see what I had to do to form a team. I'm like, okay, you don't really have to do much, just, you know, go together, and so I did. And at the time, we called ourselves NNJ Paranormal. Then we had more people join the group, and they're like, okay, I think we should change the name, and my husband come up with APPS, Altoona Pennsylvania Paranormal Society, and everybody's like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. It sounds like an APPS for a phone, you know? So we actually went with that.
Oh, that's cool. So how many cases have y'all done? I mean, have y'all done any, you know, like landmark places down that way or anything like that?
The Horseshoe Curve, we did that.
What is that exactly?
The Horseshoe Curve, you want to explain that, what that is?
Oh, it's a railroad site that comes that has like a where the trains come down off of a big hill and they have to go around this sharp corner. And everybody just goes out there that's like a train enthusiast, because we have a lot of train enthusiasts here.
Mm-hmm.
And they just watch the trains go by.
Well, you go underneath this tunnel, like on the big curve of it. If you can actually Google it. Just type in like Horseshoe Curve Altoona, and the claims are at 12 o'clock. You go through the tunnel and you don't come back out. Like gates will open to hell. We actually debunked that. None of that stuff's real. Or you actually go through the tunnel and you see dead bodies hanging from the top of the tunnel, and we actually debunked that as well. But I do believe that there is, you know, because when people built the railroad, you know, it wasn't very easy. They worked back then. And I believe that, you know, some people have died up there. I believe that they're still there. I really do. But they just don't want to be bothered, you know. And that's when the
right.
Red Arrow.
The claim there are the people that actually built the railroad had died there, so it's not a train wreck or anything there. It's just the people that had built it died.
Right. Now, the Red Arrow, they were coming down from Crescent, I want to say. They actually, they derailed and went off the embankment. It's actually called the Red Arrow. And you actually, like, sometimes, not all the time, see the actual train going around that stuff. It's, like, it's really crazy. But I never caught it on camera, so I can't tell everybody that, you know, I don't have no evidence of that.
But you have seen it. You just haven't had it on camera.
Right.
Okay.
Well, do y'all actually put videos out of y'all's investigations on YouTube?
Yes, we actually do have a YouTube. We do. We have actually Altoona. If you actually look on YouTube, Altoona, Pennsylvania Paranormal Society, we actually have a video on there, and it was actually at a private home, and I asked it. I said, "Why are you scaring this little boy?" Then a couple seconds later, you hear, "I don't." Because the guy died in there. And I think he was racist. And I don't know how I'm going to say this, but the kids were African-American. So that's why I think what happened there. But the video is on YouTube if anybody wants to hear it.
Sure, give me a YouTube channel one more time.
It's Altoona, Pennsylvania Paranormal Society at.
Do y'all see for us? I mean, we do a mixture of it all down here. Which, of course, we're in the South around New Orleans, so I mean, we live right there by one of the most haunted, you know, cities in America. So we stay pretty busy. We do a lot of historical sites, and then also we do a lot of residential sites. I've dealt with a couple of demonic cases throughout my career doing this. What do y'all like doing more? Do y'all like doing the more residential side of paranormal investigations, or do y'all like doing more of the historical site?
For me, I like the historical. Now, my lead investigator, Rich, I'll let him answer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like doing residential. Because a lot of these buildings that are in Altoona are built in, like, some of them are built way before I was born, 1950s, 1940s, you know, and some of them are even built in the 1800s. So you get a lot of residual haunts, I mean, you know, loops and whatnot, and then actually Nikki and the other part of the team, the other founder, Joe, they just did a residential one where they caught like three or four actual orbs flying around, and they're just wreaking havoc on that house. But they're not mean or anything. They didn't do anything.
Right,
bad.
They're not like a negative spirit or a negative energy.
Yeah, they're just tricksters. They're just having fun.
Right.
We caught them on. We caught a lot of the orbs on DVR because I have an eight camera DVR thing with a 550 gig hard drive.
Right.
So we basically can record up to a month, and then go back through that footage, and see what we do. I think if you probably agree with me, the hardest thing is going through the evidence and trying to figure out what's going on.
We were actually talking about that right before y'all come on, of how you go on an investigation, and then because we like to try to put our videos out within 2 or 3 days of our investigations, and it's kind of like people don't understand. You have 6-7 hours of footage that you have to go through, plus the DVR system, plus your EVPs, your digital recorders. And really, with us, it's a one-man show, really, as far as editing and stuff goes. And it's just, oh, man, it's just painstaking. Believe me, it's just, ain't nothing nice about it. And editing,
yeah.
Well, that's a whole other animal right there. Well, what? Speaking about orbs, okay, what are y'all's opinion on orbs? Now, I see a lot of paranormal groups out there, and people in general that's interested in the paranormal, they constantly post photos of what they call as orbs, which is really 90% of it's just dust, and a lot of people play it off as orbs. Now, there is a distinction, and there are true orbs, and then there are dust. I mean, are y'all like a big orb fan, or how? What's y'all's view on orbs?
Me, well, I'm not a very big orb fan. I can sit there and say that myself. I like to actually catch. I mean, I have some orbs on my app's Facebook site.
Right.
There is a difference, and a lot of people don't know how to tell between a piece of dust and orb. Because, like, a lot of paranormal teams out there will say, oh, we'll make fun of other teams for posting orbs and stuff, but some of them, you know, are there and they're real. And
I know I caught one that actually had a heat signature because we actually reversed the heat on the we have a program on our computer that actually changes. Thermal image. It changes it, and you can see when if it's a true orb, it will have either a heat signature or it'll be colder than anything else around it. If it's dust, it'll just blend in with the background. So that's
right.
How you can debunk what things. And I got like I think the last one we went out to was the Antis.
Yeah.
It was Antis Cemetery, and this is a really old cemetery, and I caught at least two. I know of, and we made sure that it wasn't dust particles because there were a lot of dust particles just before it started getting cold and everything. And I got two orbs. They were quite a distance away, and they were moving because they have. You could tell the orbs that are moving have tails on them.
They have contrails. Yeah. You're exactly right.
They look like little comets going through the air. Dust particles don't have anything. They're just moving around, and they're basically the same temperature as the surrounding area of where you put a picture at. So
right, and a lot of times they'll have little black specks in the middle of them, which is the actual dust itself.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm not trying to change the subject, but I do want to bring this up and see what other people think. I actually had what do you guys feel about teams charging?
We just discussed that right before you come on, and you know that was actually a question that I was just going to ask you. Well, look, this is my thing, okay? I call them fly-by-night paranormal groups. It's these people that are just out to make a video. They're not really interested in investigation, or they're just trying to get exposed to get a TV show or whatever the matter is. And I think it is totally wrong to charge somebody for you to invade their house, take time out of their life to do a paranormal investigation. And I will tell anybody, if you ever contact a paranormal group and they want to charge you, break all ties with them right away because they are not in it for the paranormal investigation part of it. They are only in it to make a profit. And that's the bottom line. Well, they could say, well, you know, I got to pay for my gas or my equipment or whatever. You know what? That's your problem. You knew this before you got into it. You see, us, we do this because we genuinely want to help people. Okay,
I've dealt
with a couple of demonic cases before, and, you know, it's all about helping people because you have to understand a lot of times when these people have these things in their home and it's not necessarily a good energy, who else do they have to turn to? Okay, you are their last resort. When they call you, they are at the bottom of their rope, okay? They have no one else to turn to. They are leaving it up to you to help them, okay? So,
right.
You know, your heart has to be in the right place to start with, because you have to bring the right energy to an investigation to start
right.
with.
And you're there to study it, not make money. You're there to study the paranormal, not make money from it. I mean, if you're expecting to make money from it, then I wouldn't even start one.
You know, finally,
there's
a group that's just like us.
We were just discussing about the different groups that are out there and how some of the groups are messing it up for other groups. Because there's so many groups that are going in and just going in and making it like a big party and just taking advantage of the people and not making it serious and messing it up for everybody.
Yeah, like making it a joke.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not really helping the people by either one or two, making the people feel safe and secure in their own house. Getting rid of whatever is bugging them.
Right, that was what I was going to bring up, too. Like, you get a lot of these paranormal teams that will go in there. This is the difference between at least me and other paranormal teams. Like, they call and they go and get the evidence. If there's anything in there, they'll sit there and say to the client, yeah, there's something in your house. No, we can't help you. See, is any paranormal team really qualified to, you know, get out a demon or, you know, help them, you know, do a blessing on their house, something.
You're right.
I mean, that's not, I understand their point where that is your job, just to see if it's haunted or not, but we actually get the entity out of your house because you called us for help, and that's why I'm studying demonology, and every information I can get, I study it to try to help
I've had cases, I've dealt with several demonic cases, and I was actually able to rid the demon, and I'm going to tell you, if you're going to decide to study demonology, be very careful about it, okay? Now, study as much as you can, and I'm going to tell you this. You could be doing studying demonology for 20 years, and you will never know it all. Anytime you walk into a case that has something like that, you're going to don't ever think you know it all. And look, don't ever think you're going to go into a house and know exactly what's going on. And another thing, I totally agree with this. If you're going to be a paranormal group, and your mission is to help people, and if you're not qualified in the art of cleansing and expelling spirits, you shouldn't be doing it. Be a ghost hunter. Go play around in the cemeteries and stuff like that. Don't go in people's houses if you're not going to be able to help these people to get rid of them, because they already know their house is haunted. They don't need you to tell them their house is haunted. They need you to get rid of it for them.
Somebody else understands what I'm saying. Wow.
Oh, yeah. We've been around the block now.
Thank heaven you understand what I'm saying. Because, I mean, I actually put that on my website. This one lady, we're actually on Facebook, everybody, if you want to look on the site. It was actually from a paranormal group in Ohio that helped this lady. She contacted, I think, four paranormal teams within a 20-mile radius, and they all wanted money from her, and she was on a fixed income, and she couldn't give them nothing. And that just broke my heart, and I had to share it. I couldn't help it. And then the one girl said on there is, it could be a reason why four paranormal teams turned her down. I was like, yeah, well, still. You know, they could have looked into it without charging her. I mean, my heart, you know, just sunk to the ground.
Well, they shouldn't be advertised as doing paranormal investigations in groups if they, you know, couldn't go there and help somebody.
Right. You know, your job, too, as a paranormal investigator is, you listen to what the client tells you, and you take that into perspective. But you don't go and rely on totally what the client tells you. You go there and gather your own proof of what's going on. You can't go by totally what they tell you because, look, you don't ever know what's going through people's mind, okay? You could get a call from a woman saying, look, I got this going on in my house, and kind of find out her and her husband are thinking about separating, and this is her last attempt to try to get her husband to give her sympathy, okay? You never know what's going through people's mind. You take what they tell you in perspective, but you don't rely on that. That's the part of investigating. You go in there and you gather your own evidence of what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of time trying to figure out what you're dealing with helps a lot when it comes to doing a cleansing. You have to know what you're dealing with in order to know how to expel it.
Get worse.
Yeah, or you can make it worse.
Yes, you can. You can make it very worse.
Yeah. And also, I know that one of our things is also to alleviate that fear because not all spirits are bad, obviously.
No, they're not.
And, I mean, no, we got a little girl running around in my house. She giggles
right,
and laughs.
I mean, to be honest with you, 90% of spirits are not anything negative. Now, whenever I get a call to do a house, and I determined that it is not a negative energy, I won't do a cleansing. I will not expel a positive energy from a house. And sometimes the homeowners may get a little bit upset with me over that, but I am not going to expel a positive energy from a home. You know, I'll try to convince it to cross over, but I'm not going to expel a positive energy from a home. Now, if it's a negative energy,
or else you just try to alleviate their fear. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Getting rid of that fear makes it actually a lot better for the people that are living in the house.
Exactly.
You're just sharing space with people that are there that, you know, they don't eat anything. They don't turn on lights and stuff, you know. You're not paying for them.
True.
That's right.
Unless they turn on the TV every now and then.
Yeah.
That's never bait.
Hey,
no, for me.
Yeah, we always teach our kids to share. So, you know.
We have one that turns the TV on every now and then.
Yeah, we have it at my house, too.
Mostly we have the one that's just running around, just trying to have fun.
It just wants to watch the news.
Yeah. Well, when we moved into our house, it was me, my wife, and the realtor that came in. He was with us, Mom. Just us three. And now some stuff was left inside the house. And we went up into the attic, and evidently there was a little ball because it came rolling out across the floor just as we were going up there. So we were trying to figure out. We basically figured out it was a little girl because actually how I got in with the team was that they did an investigation on my house.
Oh, okay.
In my wife's house. So, and I've had some paranormal experiences in my life, and I've always been interested in ghosts, all kinds of stuff. When I was a little kid, we had a ghost named Lauren, I think it was her name, or something like that, but she'd turn up the stereo every once in a while, and we'd tell her to turn it down, and she'd turn it down. So.
Oh. Well, I got involved because of Jeremy. Jeremy was with a different group, and he had got me to go on an investigation with him, and after that, I was kind of hooked.
Yeah, it'll do. I mean, I've always been interested in it since I was a little kid, and I was with a group, and we had a little local TV show here in the area that I live in, and, you know, that was all fun and dandy for a while, but then I just kind of wanted to get back to the roots of what it was really all about. It wasn't about, you know, doing a TV show. It was about actually helping people, and then I dealt with a real publicized case down here, and you know, I wanted to help that family, and I didn't know how to do cleansings or anything like that at the time, and that's whenever I decided to learn, and I've learned from a few people, and I've become very good at it, and, you know, the rest is history. I mean, we're improving every day. We're getting bigger and bigger. Good things are coming, you know, and 2014 is going to be a better year, and I hope it is as well for y'all.
Oh, yeah, we hope so, too. Actually, when I joined the team, or me and my wife actually joined the team, they had only had, like, maybe 4 or 5 people, and now we're up to 10. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, the one thing that I could tell y'all about being a group is y'all always, you know, put the ego aside. You know, y'all always make decisions together. And even though y'all are a group, y'all always keep your friendship first. And if y'all can manage to do that, y'all will last and y'all will go a long ways. And,
well,
you know, that's what happens with a lot of groups.
We'll have a meeting with a group and, like, we'll say the question or, you know, what's going on, and then we'll vote. That's the way that we do things. Like, if it's no, then it's no. You know what I mean? Like, well, that's how we do it. We vote.
Right.
The family, so.
Yeah, like, my group is not just people I investigate with. They're my family. When you join my group, then you're considered part of my family. There's not nothing I wouldn't do for any of my team members. I just love them to death.
And how long have you been doing investigations? Because I know you said you started doing this on your own by yourself.
Let me see, since I was 16, I started going out by myself when I was old enough to drive.
Oh, at 16? Wow.
Yeah. And, like, I was born with a gift, and my mom never told me that, you know, I didn't know the difference between I was looking at a human or a ghost. So I'd come home from school and just, like, lock myself in my room because I couldn't tell the difference between a person and a spirit.
So are you still gifted in that area where you can still see things, you know, different spirits?
I can see them. And, like, everybody says, oh, it's a gift. I wish I could see it. No, I call it a curse because everything you see is not very pleasant.
Really? But can you tell the difference now?
Yes. My mom, like, I started telling my mom about the things. At first I started having dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her, somebody's going to go off the cliff, Mom, I'm telling you. She's like, oh, don't be saying that stuff. And then, like, a week later, by his own dump truck, he got sucked out the back and he got crushed. And he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
He went off the embankment, the tire blew, and yeah, that's how it started. And then I started seeing things around people. Like, and here it was auras.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Mom, what's that white around you? She's like, what are you talking about, Nick? You know, that's how I started seeing things. And
right.
Now I can see the difference because, like, all I do is have to look, you know, can I see through this person? You know, oh, I can, so, okay, I'm talking to a spirit. But a lot of times I can't hear them. Only if they want me to hear, but I can see.
Like my wife
and
had
I guess
a conversation
that makes it
with
difficult
the old lady.
If you can sense or you know that something's going to happen to someone that you know.
Guys, we got about a minute and a half left. It's been great. You guys have been awesome. I hope everything works out good for y'all, and I hope we'll see y'all grow. I'll be monitoring y'all. Why don't you give anybody that's listening to y'all's Facebook page and y'all's YouTube channel for them to check out?
All right. It's Deltona, Pennsylvania Paranormal Society or Blair County Paranormal Society. They're both on Facebook.
Yeah, the fan page and a regular page.
If y'all live around that area and y'all want some real paranormal investigators that don't charge, by the way, look these guys up. They'll be glad to deal with y'all. Well, guys, it's been great having y'all on, and I wish y'all a happy Halloween, and we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
Happy Halloween.
Great talking to you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Well, we kind of lost Chris during all of this. My for some reason, whenever they called in, has like a little question mark come up by his phone, and I can't hear him talk. So, all right, good night, people. We'll do it again next week.